Chapter 7. The sheer irony of a Jedi being the key to his revenge is thick enough to choke on. Jango doesn't have words for it, can't find them, and he isn't sure he wants to. John is entirely silent beside him, apparently giving him the space to think, and that's a vulnerability that itches after everything, but Dooku is the one who led the Jedi forces on Galadron. Dooku is the one who handed him over to the governor to be sold into slavery. Jango never knew because he's changed, and Dooku very deliberately never mentioned it, even as he used Jango. Used him like a pawn, like a weapon to be aimed and fired, and all of his clones with him. Suddenly, jarringly, everything's taken on a new weight. Nothing has changed, not outright, but everything is different now. It feels unsettling to suddenly see the parallels, to know with a sinking, brutal sort of clarity that Jango's clones are in the same position he once was. Sold to someone else, practically slaves, bound to someone else's vindictive plans. Jango had just never thought about that before. Hadn't looked deeply, had ignored things that seemed to ring with echoes, and had focused only on the downfall of the Jedi for what had happened to the true Mandalorians. But Tor is dead. The governor of Galadron is dead. Dooku is going to be dead. And soon, if Jango has anything to say about it. That means all those responsible for Galadron will be gone, and Jango will have killed them all himself. By Jaster's own laws, Jango will be able to go back. He doesn't know if he will. He's been gone from Mandalore for so long at this point that it's hard to imagine returning. And the new Mandalorians and their pretty little duchess have taken power, shipped all the warriors off to Concordia. Jango could round them up easily, raise a force and take back the throne, but it's been a very long time since he was Mandalore, and what he said to Jon is true. Wherever his home was once, it's with Boba now. "What are you going to do with that kid?" he asks, a little gruffly. And when John glances over at him, Jango tips his hand towards the Corellian ship behind them in explanation. "After Dooku." Too calm. Too calm and simple to ask that, when everything inside him is twisted up in knots. There's nothing to fight here, though. He tried to push John already. But John is quiet. Takes the anger without reflecting it, even in the middle of his own shock. It should be frustrating, should make Jango even angrier, but it feels like a ballast, like an anchor holding Jango steady. John is a stranger, a Jedi. It shouldn't feel like that, but it does, and Jango will see that Dooku's dead and buried in a hole before he pauses to consider the whys of it. "I'm not sure," John says, brushing back a fall of branches that covers one of the walkways. "The Order has contracts with orphanages and homes in the core, and I travel too much to keep a child with me." Jango thinks of the moment he saw, the way Han looked at John and snorts. "With that kid, you might not have a choice," he says. John makes a rueful sound, but before he can answer, his comm beeps, loud and strident. It makes him wince, though, and he very deliberately doesn't answer it. A spark of amusement manages to fight its way through the roil of everything else, and Jango snorts. "Not feeling chatty?" The flicker of John's smile is quick, but still feels like it hits somewhere deep in Jango's gut. "My friend," he says, and pauses, clearly weighing something. "She and another Jedi Master are near Dooku now." Tension knots through the nape of Jango's neck, and he has to make himself breathe. "They're to meet him?" he asks curtly, and John blinks, then shakes his head with a speed that speaks volumes. "Dooku and Niko were crushmates," he says. "I don't think Niko will try to stab him before we get there." The sound of amusement that jars out of Django's chest is almost painful. Dooku's personality is still the same, I'm guessing. John pauses, and his expression twists. His head dips, but it's grim distaste that's on his face. Not grief or any sort of regret. Dooku was respected, he says quietly. But clearly something went wrong. Django doesn't care. Dooku on Galadron clearly didn't give that much of a damn about anything. And as far as Django can tell, that's carried over. He's just aiming at the Jedi Order instead of the true Mandalorians now. Going to hesitate, Jedi? He taunts, but it doesn't have as much heat behind it as he intended. He hasn't seen Jon hesitate even once so far, even if that's only been against Sith beasts. Django gets the feeling it's just not part of Jon's being. There's a quiet huff, just a trace of amusement in the glance Jon slants him. You saw my lightsaber scars, Django, he says simply. Of course, the words bring back where and how. Jon's throat feels dry, and there's a sharp, dark edge to his desire. A greedy, I had you and I still want you, that takes him by surprise, but he remembers those two puckered scars, low on Jon's spine, and he reaches out. It's a choice, and he makes it because he wants to. Because even if Jon's a Jedi, he's not someone Django wants dead. And Django can acknowledge, if only to himself, that that's a very small number of people. A number that hasn't expanded from the moment Boba was born until now, and yet... Django gets a hand on Jon's ribs, shoves him sideways and right up against a wall. Just like the first time after the Katarn, Jon doesn't even fight it. He lets Django slam him up against the boards, fingers digging bruises into the sharp cut of his hip bones. And Django just pins him there for a moment, not even sure what it is that he wants. Still, even if he can't decide, he slides a hand under Jon's ratty robes, around his back. It's easy to find those two small scars, rough against Jon's skin, and the spot between them. When Django presses a thumb to the bruise he left, Jon's breath catches and his eyes slide closed. Django watches his throat work, and there's a hot, angry part of him that wants to push, wants to hurt, but Jon would take it, he thinks, and that doesn't make it feel good. Jon would take it, and he wouldn't blame Django, and Django could almost find it in himself to hate Jon for that, or maybe hate himself. It's not hatred that winds through his chest, though, twisted tight around his lungs. You seem to like getting shoved up against things, Jedi, he says roughly, and leans in, pressing his teeth to the line of Jon's throat, the burning scars that stretch across the skin. His mark is there, too, already darkening, and it makes his belly go hot and tight with something that isn't pure wrath. I showed you what I wanted you to do to me, Jon says, low, and Django has to bite at the memory of that foreign image in his head, Jon up against a wall beneath a shower's spray and coming apart under Django's hands. My plan first, he says, and lets his hand slide down the front of Jon's pants, over the cloth, but more than firm enough to feel. Going to ride you while you try to sit on the biggest carking plug I can find. Jon shudders, breath rasping, and turns his head blindly. He kisses Django like he physically can't think of anything else to do, and Django's made kills that feel less like a victory. He bites at Jon's mouth, digs his thumb into that bruise, and swallows Jon's ragged gasp. And it's not a distraction. He's not going to forget Jon's a Jedi. He won't, because he can't. It's woven so deep into Jon that Django can't divorce the two of them. But he doesn't give a damn, and that feels like a victory, too. Django shoves again, pushes Jon back until his shoulders are flush to the wood, the arch of his back over Django's arm, something vulnerable and tempting. It makes him tilt his head back, makes him pull Django in tight against him. And Django can't even spare a thought for smugness, just curls a hand against the front of John's pants. They're going to hunt, he thinks, and squeezes. And John's moan breaks low and shivery as his hips buck. He's not hard yet, but Django wants to get him there, wants to drop to his knees right out in the open here and get his mouth on John's soft cock, suck him to hardness, and then turn him around and fuck him against the wall and leave them both wrecked. Or maybe he wants to shove John down, see if John's mouth is really as good as it felt earlier, fuck his throat and get him to rub off on Django's thigh like he wants Django too much for any sort of Jedi-trained dignity. Though, Django thinks, and drags his mouth away. Neither of them probably can make much of a claim to dignity, groping in a quiet alley like carking teenagers. Criff, he breathes, and can't help but lean in, dropping his forehead on John's shoulder as he tries to catch his breath. This time yesterday, he didn't even know John's name. But John's words about Galadron, his apology, both hit different now, knowing what Dooku is. Doesn't make it better, because nothing in the universe is ever going to actually make it better, but maybe it doesn't actively make it worse. Dooku's a Sith, and he was using Django, and the idea that the Jedi, who fucked Django over so spectacularly, ended up trying to use him like a weapon against the Order as a whole, burns. Maybe Django's just short-sighted, or maybe it's a sort of enemy of my enemy thing, or maybe it's just spite making Django dig his heels in and turn right around against what Dooku had wanted him to do. But right now, Django wants Dooku's head on a stake, and he doesn't much care how he gets it. There's a breath against his hair, then fingers stroke the back of his head, trailing lightly over his nape. John's other hand splays over his back, fingers unerringly finding the lash marks there. But his touch is steady, soothing. He kisses Django's temple, the curve of his brow, and the way his hand cups Django's skull shouldn't make Django want to sink into him. Django's stronger than that, better than that. He leans into it, though, even knowing that. He leans into it, turns his head to lay an open-mouthed kiss over the bruise he left on John's collarbone, and breathes out. I think, John says, low and soft. And his fingertips frame Django's face. That we should let Boba and Han sleep on the ship tonight. Django snorts, turning his head to kiss John's fingertips, catches one in his mouth, biting lightly, and then kisses it again. And the way John is watching him is something he can't think about, won't. Assuming they didn't end up in whatever passes for a holding cell around here, Django says, able to imagine that all too clearly. Boba's never met an authority figure he didn't want to kick in the shins. John huffs when Django kisses his palm, fingers twitching. At least that will mean a quiet... He breaks off, sudden and sharp, and before Django can even blink, John is twisting out from between his body and the wall, one blurred quick movement that leaves Django off balance for a startled instant. Catching himself on the wood, he turns, but John hasn't vanished. He's standing on the edge of the walkway, staring out into the swamp. And there's a tension to his body that makes a similar sort of adrenaline slide through Django's veins. John, he asks sharply, because he can't hear anything except the local birds singing, the hum of an engine firing up in the port. John doesn't look like he's listening. At least, not in any way Django is familiar with the term. There's no distance in his eyes, no lack of focus, and the tilt of his head is away from the swamp, not towards it. Small differences, but they put the hair up on the back of Django's neck. John, he says again, and John half turns his head, eyes still focused on something Django can't see. One of the chrysalids, he says. the rancor. Django isn't going to ask how he knows. The itch of annoyance low in his belly says that the rancor is going to get a few extra blaster holes in it, though. Close? Yes, John says quietly, but he's frowning. And when he turns to Django, there's something on his face that slides towards dangerous. I think Boba and Han are out in the swamp. It's like a kick in the chest, at the same time as Django's stomach drops. Boba's good with a blaster, but Django remembers the Vornskers and how hard they were to kill. No way a 10-year-old is going to be able to manage that with a mutated rancor. Cursing because he left his helmet back on the ship, didn't think he'd need it for a walk through town to find Boba, he draws his blaster, takes two steps towards the edge of the dock. An arm wraps around his waist, and quicker than any normal human, harder than any human can manage, John hurls them off the deck in a leap that's counter to gravity, hulling Django along with him. Different than a jetpack. Very different. And Django hisses in protest, grabbing the edge of John's cloak. John doesn't hesitate, hits a tree and redirects, lands on a patch of bare ground, and Django gets the picture in the same moment. Three running steps, and Django matches, leaps as well. John propels them further, faster, deeper into the swamp. And it's the closest Django's ever gotten to flying without the help of equipment. He sees the log before they hit it, braces, lands, and then jumps with John. And the only thing that's in this direction is a wide, slow-moving river that Django assessed as a good place to pick a fight if his bounty tried to make a run for it. There's a waterfall at the end of the open area, though, and Django thinks of Boba close to that long drop without his jetpack, facing a rancor and wants to punch something. A roar cracks the low murmur of the swamp, and all the local wildlife goes silent in a rush. John's breath catches, and he hits a spur of land, then says, I'm going to try something dangerous. Go! Django snaps, not in any mood to hesitate, and John nods, takes a deeper breath. Get ready to shoot it, he says, and launches them up, practically weightless, high above the edge of the trees with a grunt of effort. Django gets a half-second glimpse of the river, damningly far away, and then they're falling. Green light flares, rippling around them, and there's a jerk, deeper than it should be, bone deep, like standing too close to a malfunctioning hyperdrive, Django thinks, and he has a fraction of a second to feel a deep kick of alarm. The world around them shifts, abruptly different, and Django gets a half-second impression of something really big and really ugly before he levels his blaster right at the dripping mouthful of teeth and fires with impunity. The chrysalid wrenches back with a howl, and Django hits the knee-deep river on his feet, keeps firing. There's a twist, impossibly limber, and a foot on his shoulder, too light for a grown man. John leaps, using him as a springboard, and with a deep hum, green plasma ignites. He drops on top of the rancor, and Django's faced a hell of a lot of the beasts over the years. But this one is easily twice the size, its hide poison green and covered in spikes. It towers over them, and when John drives his lightsaber straight down into its shoulder, it howls, twists too quickly for a thing of its size, and snatches John in one four-fingered hand. Dad! Boba cries, and the relief in his voice might as well be a direct blow. Django doesn't take his eyes off the rancor, aims for the wrist and takes a shot, making its grip slip. John drops out of its hand and is gone before he can hit the water, reappearing in a twist of green light right in front of the rancor's face. Distraction, Django realizes, and refuses to spare the time to be grateful, jerking around. Boba, he calls, and a familiar head of brown curls rises out of a tangle of weathered fallen logs. Boba looks like he's in one piece, a long, bloody scratch down his face, but no other signs of harm. Han, stuffed into the same hole with him, is clutching his arm, and his shoulder looks dislocated. But they're alive, they're fine, and Boba has his jetpack and a blaster. Get back to the town, Django yells and turns back, just in time to duck the huge claws that grab for him. He leaps back, and John drops right in front of him, lightsaber a blur of green. Jerks as the claws hit him, but doesn't move, just swings. The green blade hits the plates of the Ranker's hide-end jars, sinks in but doesn't cut through, and Django curses even if John doesn't. He aims over John's shoulder, shoots for the tiny eyes, and hits. The Ranker recoils with a howl. John follows it back, predator silent, and Django splashes a few steps after him, realizes he doesn't hear small bodies in the water, and snaps, "Boba, now!" "Dad, I can help!" Boba cries. "You can get Han out of here," Django orders, and sees the huge hand grab for John while John tries to fend off the mouthful of arm-length teeth. He grabs for a vibroblade, flips it up and forward, and drives it into the Ranker's arm, knocking the limb out wide. "John!" John doesn't need words. He gets a foot in the bend of Django's elbow, leaps, and John tries to give him momentum even as he fires point blank into the Ranker's chest. It roars, and a lashing hand just misses Django's face. John twists in the air, comes down on the Ranker's shoulders, and raises his hands, and the riverbed writhes. Riverweed and roots surge up the Ranker's legs, and it roars, twists. Django shoots it in the face again, comes too close to hitting John with the way it's thrashing, and aims for the belly instead, and it snarls, lurching forward, and lunges right at him. He throws himself to the side, goes underwater, and rolls back to his feet, and feels human hands grab him. John leaps with him, lands them on the branch of a tree, and drops again, back on top of the Ranker with his lightsaber already stabbing down. And Django spares a breath to snap, "Boba, go! That's an order!" "You're my dad, not my general," Boba retorts, and he's pushing up out of the nest of logs, blaster in hand, even as Han tries to scramble after him. "I'm not leaving. I'm your son, and sons don't just run away." "My sons listen when they're told to fall back and protect someone," Django snaps, and shoots a hand again before the Ranker can grab John. "Go!" There's a startled silence, and then Boba says, "Sure, Dad," in a tone that's suspiciously bright. Django jerks around, looking for whatever trouble is about to come and bite him in the shebs. "Django!" John shouts, a whip crack warning that has Django flinging himself forward on instinct, right out of the tree. He can hear a jetpack firing, Han's annoyed cry, but there's no time to look and make sure Boba's obeying. Claws snatch at him, impossibly quick, and a shadow separates from the trunk of the tree, leaping after Django as he hits the water. A karking, huge Virgundark lands with a splash and an earth-shaking thud, and Django swears ferociously as he scrambles back, drawing his second blaster. A shot makes the Virgundark recoil with a hiss, and it surges to the left, too much muscle to be moving like that. Its second set of arms snatch at Django, and he drives the butt of his blaster into one, levels his flamethrower right at its face as it tries to tear out his throat. Fire explodes through the air, and the Virgundark recoils with a scream. "You didn't say there was a Gundark!" Django shouts at John and takes another shot at the Rancor as its claws pass through John like he's a hollow. It jerks and John's lightsaber sinks into its side, making it roar. "I thought I was wrong," John says, annoyingly, attractively steady as he rises. He raises a hand, face twisting with concentration, and says, "Follow Boba and Han. I can distract them." "Shut the hell up," Django says, annoyed. He grabs John, raises an arm, and fires a grapple, and the line winds itself around one of the Rancor's arms as the beast roars. Django doesn't try to haul it around the way he might a human, detaches the line and slaps it into John's grip, then says, "That stone." He doesn't have to finish. John grabs the line and leaps up over the Rancor and down onto the outcropping of stone that juts from the water. He passes straight through, line included, and the cable goes taut with a jerk. The Rancor comes up against it, howls, and Django feels a flare of satisfaction, even as he wrenches away from the Virgundark's grab. It pounces, misses, spins, and Django sets his feet as it surges towards him, grabs a thermal detonator from his belt. It barrels down on him as big as a ship, and Django looks it right in the face as it opens its mouth, bares long, jagged teeth, grabs. The grenade flies right into its mouth, and a body slams into Django. The world warps just as it detonates, and they hit the top of the rocks just beyond the curls of flame as the Virgundark falls. Django staggers, and John almost goes down, but Django gets an arm around his waist, hauls him back up onto his feet as the Rancor charges, heavy and lumbering but quick. It's on top of them in an instant, claws slashing, powerful arms swinging. And Django snarls, raises his blasters and fires, and John slides right out of its grip and lunges low. His lightsaber ignites as he brings it up in a hard sweep, carving deep into the Rancor's belly. And Django sidesteps the long teeth, shoves both blasters up under the chrysalid's jaw, and fires point blank as John gives a cry of effort and finally drives his blade right through the thick hide. Like an avalanche of a monster, the Rancor collapses right on top of them, slamming Django off his feet and into the water. He goes down with an annoyed shout, hears John's curse, and struggles up, kicking and shoving until he can push his way out from under the heavy, twitching limbs, far enough to stagger upright. He's breathing hard, from adrenaline as much as effort, and he takes a second to catch his breath, then splashes around to the Rancor's side and grabs for the tattered edge of a cloak that he can see, follows it down, gets his shoulder against the Rancor's side, and heaves. And with a groan, John shoves his way free. Django grabs him, drags him up, and John all but slumps over his shoulder, looking pale. "All right?" Django asks. He can see streams of watery blood trickling down John's side, but not enough to make him worry. And John seems to be moving just fine otherwise.
"I've never teleported with another person." John gets out and closes his eyes, leaning heavily on Django.
Django snorts quietly, but hauls him up onto the rocks, thumping down on the stone, and lets himself fall back flat as he tries to catch his breath.
"Griff," he says, and reaches up. "Biggest carking Rancor I've ever seen."
John doesn't even try to protest when Django gets a hold of his arm, just lets himself be pulled down and curls into Django's side, pressing his forehead to Django's shoulder.
"And a Gundark," he says.
Django groans in annoyed agreement, and John huffs an almost silent laugh, pressing his face into Django's armor. He looks a hell of a lot more exhausted than he did against the Katarn, and Django can't help but frown, threading his fingers through John's wet hair.
"Hurt?" he asks,
and John hesitates, which means yes. Django didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. Except he did, because John took a hit for him when Django was focused on Boba. With a curse, Django rolls up, jerks John's cloak away from his skin. His shirt is still in shreds on the Slave One, so it's easy to see the deep, oddly gray gouges ripped across his chest. And something in Django's gut lurches. "Griffin Jetty!" he snaps and grabs for the Bacta he carries, tries to calculate if his jetpack will carry two grown men back to town. A hand closes around his wrist, and John tugs, pulls Django down into a kiss, light and lingering, and murmurs, "I'm fine. It's healing." Not fast. Not nearly as fast as he dealt with being disemboweled. And Django's breath jars out of his throat. He thinks of the Vornskers, pressing his thumb to the new scar across John's temple, and asks, "Poison?" John nods, clearly saving his breath. And Django breathes out harshly, curling over him. He tangles his fingers in John's hair, pressing a kiss to his forehead. And John smiles, one hand settling on Django's hip.
"Easier with two,"
he says, hoarse. And Django snorts before he can help himself, kissing that scarred mouth, the rueful curve of John's lips.
"Feels good, hunting with you," he says gruffly.
And it means so much more than those five little words can convey, but... Well, from the way John opens his eyes and looks up at him, there are upsides to fucking an empath.
Very good, John says quietly, and sucks in a sharp breath, then slides a hand down his own stomach, hissing softly. Django pushes up enough to watch the wounds ooze something gray-green and unpleasant, then seal, leaving four new, wide scars behind. Right across all the others, Django thinks, and can't stop himself from touching, stroking his fingers over the marks. John hums, head tilting, and Django thinks, for me, for me, for me. Like he can't bring himself to believe it, and leans down, pressing his face into the new scars. John's breath hitches, his hands going to Django's head, and Django kisses the slick, raised skin, open-mouthed and deliberate. Django, John says, breathless. And they just killed two Sith war beasts, put them down and survived, but he still sounds like Django's touch is enough to make him helpless, like Django's mouth alone can undo him. It's heady, addicting. And Django sets his teeth against the skin between the scars and bites lightly, rolls the skin between his teeth and sucks. And John gasps. His fingers go tight in Django's hair and his hips twitch up like he's pushing against Django's mouth. Can't get enough. Griffing Jedi, Django says, and doesn't mean it the way he would have even a day ago. He feels hot all over, adrenaline sliding into lust in his belly, and he gets his hands around John's thighs, presses them apart, tries not to react to the way John just yields, lets him with a soft moan. And Django wants to ride him, wants John's cock in him, and John to fuck up into him like he can't control himself. He groans, presses his forehead against John's stomach, and asks, Boba and Han? It takes John a second, and he tips his head back against the stone, like he's struggling for control. But his hands never leave Django's hair. After a moment, he takes a breath and says, back at the ship, waiting. It's good enough for Django, and he presses his hand against the zipper of John's pants, squeezes the hardening shaft he can feel through the thick fabric. Gonna fuck you stupid again, Jedi. He warns, and John's laugh is breathless, winded. He pulls Django up, and Django falls into the kiss, takes his mouth brutally, even as he gets John's pants open, and shoves them down. I'm sensing a pattern, John says against Django's lips, and Django grunts, not about to deny it. He kisses John again, tangling their tongues, licking into his mouth until he's moaning, soft and hitching. Lax under Django's hands. Django wants him. Wants him so badly he can't even think past it. And he gets his own belt off, unhooks as much of his armor as he needs to in order to get his pants down, shoves them down around his thighs with one hand as he grips John's cock with the other. John cries out, jerking up, but Django pins his hips down, stroking him tightly until he's fully hard. John twists under his weight, squirming, and Django laughs breathlessly, swings his leg over and settles astride John's hips. There's Bacta in his belt pouch, and he grabs it, unscrews the jar with one hand, and leans forward. I see you fight a Sith beast, and I want to make you criffing cry, he says, low. And John shudders, moans, twitches like he doesn't know if he's allowed to touch. And Django likes that a Jedi who just beat a Rancor is entirely at Django's mercy, listening to only him, wanting him so much that he's desperate for it. Touch me, he orders, just to see John's reaction, and it's a moan of relief. He grabs John's hips, arching up to kiss him again, and Django lets him, takes the needy, desperate kiss, and then takes control, pushing John back against the stone and practically fucking his mouth as he coats two fingers with Bacta and shoves them into himself. The sharp stretch makes him suck in a breath, and he pulls away, rests his forehead against John's as he fingers himself open, enjoying the stretch, the faint burn. Groans low and spreads his thighs a little to get deeper, slowly sliding his hand down John's cock.
John is staring up at his face like he's transfixed, like he's overcome just from watching Django finger himself, and it gives Django far too many ideas. "That all you're gonna do?" He mocks, but kisses John again, feels the curve of his mouth that's all warm humor. "You're in full armor," John murmurs. "Makes it hard."
"Makes you hard,"
Django retorts and grunts as he pushes his fingers all the way in, spreads them, strokes out. It's enough, and he sits back, swipes more bacta over his hand, and strokes it over John's cock. John hisses, jerks, and Django pins him down with a hand in the center of his chest, then sits back. The head of John's cock presses against him, and he lets out a breath of relief, too hot, too desperate for it, sinks down, holding John still, and the push of the head sliding into him makes him moan. It's a nice cock, long, and the burn is good, gut-twisting in the best way, a punch of pleasure that tangles in his gut and pools down his spine. Django groans, settling on John's hips, and just sits there for a moment, breathing through the fullness. Under him, John is tense, practically trembling, his breaths coming fast, his eyes tightly closed. Django rolls his hips, testing the stretch, and can't help but huff out a laugh as John clutches at his hips. "Come on," he says, and slowly, carefully leans forward, rocking forward and then slamming back. John jolts, gasping, and Django feels winded, but he keeps going, fucking himself on John's cock like it's his favorite toy. Thinks of it, of tying John down and making him watch while Django fucks himself, of fucking John's throat while he screws himself on a dildo, and John cries out under him, thrusts up like he can't stop himself. And Django laughs breathlessly, riding it and slamming back, sitting all the way up and clenching down hard around John's cock, rides him in short, brutal strokes, each one lighting up a thousand nerves, and throws his head back with a cry when the hitch of John's hips slides over something brilliant inside of him. "Criff," he hisses. And John's hands tighten around his hips, pulling him down into each desperate thrust. He's criffing beautiful under Django, head thrown back, expression twisted in pleasure like he doesn't know what to do with himself. And Django strokes his own cock, leans forward, kisses John brutally, aching for it, grinds his cock into John's stomach against those new scars, the old ones. The stretch of his cock is almost enough, each thrust deep and just barely not enough, and Django groans, braces his hands on either side of John's head, and fucks back hard, hard enough to bruise himself on John's hips, wants those bruises, matching to the ones he left on John, the precursor of all the marks he's going to leave. They've got a hunt to get to, and it's going to be the most satisfying kill of Django's life after Tor. But for right now, Django's got the Jedi falling apart under him, clutching at him, coming as Django rides his cock, and that's more than enough for the moment. He sinks back as John's shudders fade, rolling his hips without lifting off John's softening shaft, and huffs in satisfaction, clenches down hard, and John gasps, shuddering, bringing a hand up to his mouth like that will be enough to hide his reaction. Django catches it, pulls it down, and smirks at the whine his tight grip gets him. "Come on, sweetheart," he says, faintly mocking. "I already did most of the work. Not even gonna let me have your mouth?" John shivers all over, and his gaze is hazy when he looks up at Django. "You can have anything you want," he promises hoarsely. And Django growls. He shifts forward with a groan, letting John's cock drag free, and crawls up his body to straddle his shoulders. The eager way John grabs his hips is criffing, gutting, and Django can hardly breathe as he guides his cock into John's mouth, sinks into wet heat with a moan. John whimpers as Django pushes into his throat, clutches at Django's ass, and pulls him all the way in. And Django thrusts gently, then more firmly, grips one of John's hands and pulls it back, and John gets the hint easily, sliding three fingers deep into Django without hesitation. It's almost enough to push Django over the edge, just like that, and he curses, rocks back on John's fingers and forward into his mouth, and John sucks at his shaft, swallows around him, takes the hard hitch of Django's hips like he loves sucking cock.
Gonna kill me,
Django groans and fucks his mouth, thighs splayed wide around his face. John's fingers hooked deep inside of him. He can't think, can't breathe through the wrenching heat. And he moans, shoves himself deep as John sucks desperately at him and comes, spilling down John's throat.
For a long moment, Django can't even move, dazed, nerves buzzing. Gently, John strokes his hips, suckling at his shaft as it softens, and Django entertains a vague thought of John warming his cock, sets it aside for a time when his muscles don't feel like water, and reaches down, stroking the backs of his knuckles over John's cheek in silent thanks before he pulls out. John turns his head, kissing his hand as he slides his fingers free, and Django shifts back, thumps down beside John on the rock, and only just manages to hitch his pants back up enough that he's not wholly indecent. John looks entirely like he just got screwed within an inch of his life, but Django can't even feel vaguely ashamed of that. If John didn't want to get fucked against every available flat surface, he should stop killing chrysalids where Django can see him.
I still need to get you that plug, he says gruffly, and reaches out, pressing his thumb against John's used mouth. There's a smear of cum at the corner of his lips, and Django presses it back into his mouth, then leans over and kisses him, sliding his tongue in to taste himself. John hums, dazed and pleased, and Django settles on top of him, fingers automatically finding the new scars.
Look forward to it,
John says, rough, used, and Django feels so criffing smug. His doing, his cock John was so desperate for, and he kisses John again, strokes his thighs, his soft cock, his belly. John sighs into his mouth, pleased, soft, and Django wants to absolutely ruin him. He kisses him instead, deep and slow and intent, and doesn't let himself think of anything except the way John presses into his touch, the feel of the scars under his fingertips, the fact that soon, soon, Dooku will be dead. For now, it's more than enough.